Hello and welcome to your dose of daily outrage from Union Solidarity International. Today is Thursday, the 22nd of August, and I'm coming to you live from Glasgow, Scotland. My name is Walton Pantland, and today I'm joined by archaeologist Sam Hardy. Now, we've spoken in the past few weeks about precarious work and particularly about the problem of 0 hours contracts in the economy. Today we're going to speak about something worse, not getting paid at all, and particularly about unpaid internships in archaeology, heritage, and museums. Sam, thank you for joining us, and can you tell us what's going on?
In archaeology and heritage, there's a range of issues, partly split by the kind of work you do. So in archaeology, there isn't such a problem of completely unpaid labour, but there's a far greater problem with casual work or short contracts, which give you a great deal of precarity between jobs and making the money last, those kinds of issues. In heritage, if you get in and you get to a paid position, then it's quite stable, reliable, decent work. But it seems like the entry level to the profession is just being more and more withdrawn, so it's being significantly and in some places seemingly entirely replaced by unpaid internships, sometimes strings of unpaid internships, so that obviously a huge number of people simply have no chance to get in at all, and even the people who have the opportunity to compete for these long-term unpaid positions have to either have a huge amount of money behind them or to drive themselves further into poverty in order to get a chance of a starting wage.
Can you give us some examples of the kind of work which is now being expected, which people are being expected to do for free?
There's one that's just come out at the moment that are being advertised, and there's a charity in Newham which wants a heritage worker, assistant heritage worker, a curator, and an exhibitions assistant. All of them require both qualifications and prior experience. All of them are 6-month posts, and none of them pay at all, apart from expenses for travel and lunch.
So these are actual jobs. These are actual jobs where people have responsibilities and they need qualifications, right?
Yeah, and even big museums, I think. The National Trust, I think, has 19 interns at a time for 6 months, so they get through at least 38. The Victoria and Albert Museum has at least 24 interns at a time for at least 6 months, so it gets through at least 48. Some of the people who've done them have got postgraduate qualifications and sometimes 2 or 3 internships behind them. They really need to start earning money, and yet they get more of these unpaid internships where they don't even have the prospect of employment afterwards. The institutions and the organisations, they think that experience and having something on your CV should count, or you should accept it as your wage. They positively advertise the fact that you're doing real jobs with real responsibility, but just not real wages.
So what I find so shocking and so unbelievable about the situation is that it requires real qualification. You really need a qualification to be able to do these jobs. And qualifications are extremely expensive. So essentially, you're having the situation where someone has gone to university to get a very, very expensive degree. They've come out of there with a huge amount of debt, and then they're expected to work for free, essentially for the foreseeable future with no, there isn't even, you know, it's not even like an apprenticeship or something. There's not even, there's no guaranteed mechanism or pathway into a job, essentially. It's just in the hope that if you do it for free long enough, someone will eventually pay you. But what's happening is with the growth of these unpaid internships and with the rise of graduate unemployment is that there's less and less incentive for employers to pay because there's a pool of unpaid interns. It sounds like a really disastrous situation, but one that suits employers quite well.
Yeah, they do very well out of it. And also, I guess, because it's the cultural sector, they can exploit people's guilt because people feel bad asking for a wage for doing something which is socially beneficial. I mean, you know, nurses would never feel bad about asking for a wage because they need the money to live. But somehow, in the cultural sector, doing museums, you should consider it a privilege that you get to do it. And therefore, I mean, especially with the number of people who volunteer, the idea that you get paid for doing something that people would do for fun means that it's very difficult to argue just on the moral case that you should get paid. The institutions do very well. There's a huge amount of work that gets done. In some places, the majority, it seems, the majority of staff are actually unpaid. And it's difficult to work out whether the institution started out just trying to fill the gaps and just trying to cope with the funding cuts or with the revenue stream they had. But for some of them, they seem to deliberately start new massive programs, which they can only do because they're bringing in unpaid staff to do the jobs for them.
Now, you have experience working as an archaeologist in more than one country. Is this a problem that exists just in the UK, or have you seen evidence of it elsewhere as well?
No, I mean, it's even got its own name in other countries. I think the Italian hashtag is Volontariato, or they have the date of the first protest. I think it's the 18th of May. In Greece, a huge number of people do excavations unpaid as students, but a lot of those research digs don't end up in jobs afterwards. In Turkey, I think the majority of archaeologists are actually unemployed. They have 2,000 students a year on four-year courses. So you have an 8,000 strong workforce of students, and every year you get 2,000 graduates. But the number of people who've been employed in the culture ministry is, I think, last year 5. So you now have an unemployed workforce that's larger than the student workforce, and none of them do well out of it. And even the few people, the very, very, very few people who get jobs, end up on precariously low wages.
So this is clearly an international problem. It's something that's happening everywhere in this industry for some of the reasons that you've raised. What can we do about it? I know, for example, that there's the hashtags that you mentioned in other countries, and there's the free archaeology hashtag in the UK, which is being used to name and shame those massive organizations which are using free labor. How can we campaign? What can we do to raise the profile of the fact that so many big organizations are exploiting people's passion and love for archaeology and heritage in order to get free labor? And also, what can the labor movement do? How can trade unions get involved in this situation?
That is a very big issue because in some countries there are several unions within the profession, and it's not just that they're split by region or some other natural split. Some of them are split, so you have archaeologists on permanent contracts in public sector in one union and archaeologists who are in more precarious employment in a different union, which obviously makes it very difficult for them to engage in activism. In Britain, I fear the majority of archaeologists aren't in a union. I'm not sure whether the majority of heritage workers in museums, in galleries, archives, those kinds of things. I'm not sure what their union membership is like, but they certainly don't seem to be very active. The strikes seem incredibly rare, and certainly the unpaid internships just seem to be accepted as a fact of life. Either because people who've got positions now went through them and therefore have that kind of weird, well, being smacked never did me any harm approach to the issue, or because people went through and got free university and got paid entry-level positions and therefore have no appreciation of what they're putting a lot of people through by getting them to work unpaid, and what they're doing to all of the other people who just get ploughed off out of the profession before they even entered it.
So it seems like what we need to do is begin to build a cross-union campaign around precariousness generally, because it's an issue which seems to crop up in a lot of different sectors in different ways. And we've seen certainly in retail and hotels that it's 0 hours contracts. But what we were surprised to learn is that 0 hours contracts are used a lot in further and higher education as well. Mm. And so next week we're going to be speaking to the University and College Union anti-casualization campaign, who are working on 0 hours contracts in higher education. And it would be it seems to me a good idea to link campaigns like that against or with campaigns against unpaid internships, and essentially try to build a bit of critical mass around precarity in general.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, especially because people move between sectors, especially when they're precarious, you have to take whatever you can get. But with the difficulties of union membership when you're precariously employed, or especially, obviously, when you're unemployed, between the dead-end jobs you're lucky enough to get. There needs to be organisation between amongst precarious workers. I think there's 180,000 academics, technically, and 60,000 of those are on fixed-term contracts, or they're otherwise somehow precarious. But they don't count all of the people on zero-hour or casual contracts, all the people doing hourly paid teaching, and if you include those, the majority of academics are more or less precariously employed. But I guess the ones who are unionized haven't really done enough or haven't appreciated the need to protect the others.
So I think it's really important that we continue to highlight this issue, and it would be really helpful if we can all work together and make people aware of when big organizations who really should be paying people for jobs are expecting people to work for free, and also to continue to name and shame people who are using 0 hours contracts. So it's something that we'll continue to do. Sam, thank you for joining us today. It's been really insightful to get a view of what's happening in archaeology, heritage, and museums. It's not something we hear about very often in the labor movement, and it's been really helpful. We'll take up this conversation again, I hope. Once again, thank you for watching the Stosov Daily Outrage from Union Solidarity International.